invite you, if you will, to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 2, the Gospel of Mark chapter 2, as we pursue just that. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Friendship. Friendship is a thing that happens on the earth, and most everyone desires to have a good friend, a trusted friend. There's a lot of people in the world that have been betrayed by friends. Folks that they thought were their friends were not. There's folks in the world that have not found good, solid, lasting friends. Maybe it is in our lifetimes that we had some real good close friends when we were children, but because of the paths of life and such as that, that friendship, not that it was broken or anything, but it was just because of directions that different folks went. They just didn't stay in contact and that. And maybe later on in life they're reacquainted. Maybe there's other friends that come along in time. Friendship is something that is indeed in the world and something that we need. These passages really stood out to me in regards to this and that song and what this song conveys. I believe this is the most appropriate passages to deal with that. Mark chapter 2, we pick it up here in verse number 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, this is speaking of Jesus, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. So all these people, so many different kind of people in the multitudes are coming to Jesus to be taught of him. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. This Levi is one and the same Matthew, brother Matthew, that is going to become one of the apostles of our Lord Jesus. He's there a tax collector, a publican. He's there at that station to receive such. And Jesus comes up to him and says, Follow me. He arose and followed him. He followed Jesus. It came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, in Levi's house, or Matthew's house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. So at this calling of Levi, this calling of Matthew, there are already those disciples that are following with Jesus. Okay, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him, Jesus, eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? They're troubled by that. When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We're going to be going back and forth between this passage and the one contained over here in Luke 5, the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. And so I warn you ahead of time, if you want, be ready to flip back and forth between the two. In Luke chapter 5, verse number 27, we pick it up. Same account. Luke writing a little different than Mark and vice versa. And understand this. I find this interesting that Brother Mark, Brother John Mark, a member there seemingly of the first church, is not an apostle, but he's one near unto the ministry of the Lord, and a very young man, it seems, at the ministry, during the ministry of the Lord. And then Brother Luke is a man that the Apostle Paul met during the time of his ministry, and same Luke that wrote the book of Acts, who is not an apostle either. And so these two men grabbed a hold of this account. Interesting. Brother Matthew, in his gospel, writes nothing about it. Probably along the line of like it is with Brother John. Brother John was hesitant to write about himself. He would refer to himself when he was cornered into it. The Lord inspired him, of course, what to write, but he didn't call himself by name. He referred to himself as that disciple whom the Lord loved, whom Jesus loved. But Brother Matthew didn't take occasion to write about it, nor did Brother John. But these two do. And in Luke chapter 5, verse number 27, the scripture says here, And after these things he went forth, Jesus, and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, Levi did, and rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so here we have these two passages telling about these two accounts. Well, what do we see in them? Well, over here in Mark and chapter 2 and verse number 14, we see the obedience of Levi, don't we? The obedience of Matthew. The Lord said unto him, follow me. And understand, this man is—he takes care of money. He's got a responsibility for that accounting. And what's it say there? And he arose and followed him. It says over in Luke 5, over there in verse number 27 and 28, he saw Levi sitting at receipt of custom. So he's in the midst of his job. He says to him, the Lord Jesus does, he says to him, follow me. And he left all and rose up and followed him. So right in the midst of what he's doing, in the midst of that accountability, and no doubt there were others there, but Levi didn't talk with the Lord and say, well, let me get today reconciled and then I'll go follow you. But the Lord spoke. And Brother Levi received that. He followed the Lord. Right then and there. No hesitation. Are you willing to follow? Are you and I willing to follow a stranger? Well, not typically. We're not. But Brother Levi saw great value in the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? He saw the Lord Jesus Christ as one that commanded for Levi, Matthew, to follow him, and that the Lord Jesus was worthy to be followed. He did it. There was value in doing that. There was or was right for him to do that. Brother Matthew, we don't know for sure, but it's possible that Brother Matthew could have been there when Jesus was down south there with Brother John. John the Baptist, when John declared to his disciples, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Could have been there. We don't have anything that tells us that, but he could have been there. We know that Brother Matthew was indeed convicted. That was the truth that he needed to follow, found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two simple words, follow me. Brother Levi did so. Brother Matthew indeed looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, and no doubt he valued him and came to value him more as he followed the Lord Jesus in his ministry. Well, we dare say, could we say that Matthew indeed looked at Jesus as his friend? I think so, because to go ahead and give your life to a cause, a purpose, a person, you've got to esteem them. We don't follow after strangers, people being people. Now, some do, and that's mostly destructive, isn't it? But here the Lord said, follow me. Matthew is so compelled and touched by the Lord that it says here in Luke chapter 5 and verse number 29, it says here that Levi made him a great feast. Well, we've got indication there about friendship more, don't we? I mean, for a man to make a great feast, and it seems like the attendees to this feast are many. What's it say? Levi made him a great feast in his own house, not in the rented room, not in the pavilion down the road, but at home, he made him a feast. He is looking to bestow the greatest honor on the Lord that he can possibly do, can possibly perform, isn't he? He counts him of great value. Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company. I mean, it wasn't just a select group of a dozen or so near friends and that, but there's a lot of folks there. And Brother Levi footed the bill for it. He put on the dog, as would be said. I mean, he didn't pull out, and he pulled out all the stops, didn't he? A great feast to a great company in honor of our Lord. Levi made him a great feast. And it was a great company of folks that were there. This verse also speaks to us about who came. In Luke 5:29, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Brother Luke is kind of kind. He mentions about the publicans. Of course, Brother Luke was a publican, and it would be normal and natural for him to visit it and keep company and socialize with his own. The publicans were hated in that day by their countrymen. They were viewed as those that had sold out to Rome, Jews that were willing to do the tax collecting for Rome from their own people. And those that were on the ground there actually doing the collecting, we understand historically that there was like three different levels of these publicans. The ones that were in Rome or would travel to Rome to gain the contract to collect the taxes, they paid in advance or made agreement for payment to the Roman government. And then those that would be the supervisors or the leaders, Zacchaeus seems to be along that line, and then maybe Brother Luke is too, but it said he was at receipt of customs, so he could have been that lower level. That lowest of the three levels were the ones that would go maybe even extort the people. It happened. Or they would be the ones that would be the brutes that would make sure that the tax was collected. And so these publicans are there at Luke's or at Matthew's house in this great feast. There's a lot of them. And what's it say here? A great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. Sat down with them to eat. Not to just come and drink some punch and let that be it, but to sit down and have a meal. Eating is indeed one of the greatest exhibitions of fellowship that people have one with another. You and I, when we want to do show the greatest amount of hospitality to folks, we do invite them into our homes to eat. It's just that way. People don't eat with people they don't like. I've worked at plants and facilities where there'd be a number of people that at 11:30 noon would be let out at their from their jobs to eat lunch. And you find it this way in every place. There's people that just get off to themselves with those that they call their own. We see it. We can have a tendency to do that ourselves. We need to be on guard for that. But people don't eat with people that they don't like. Just don't do it. Because that is the greatest point of fellowship amongst folks, is to eat. What is it that a family does when they have a special time? They want to get together and they eat together. And so Luke puts on this great feast for our Lord, and these publicans and others. Over here in Mark chapter 2 and verse number 15, it tells us here regarding the others. Luke is kind. Mark just writes it as it was said there. It says there in the midst of the verse, many publicans and sinners. Sinners. I think that the reference here is sinners so called by the religious elite of the day. the people that weren't desirable, the people that maybe were wayward in Judaism, people thought disobedient and undeserving. Brother Doug touched on that and some of what our Lord teaches us there in the Sermon on the Mount. This reference here to the publicans and sinners, it is a reference that carries with it a despising of these people by some. I'm not saying that Brother Luke and Brother Mark are saying so, but that is the reference, publicans and sinners. Kind of with a little, you see my snarl, publicans and sinners. That's the way they would think of them and refer to them. In Luke 2:15, it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, right up their clothes. For there were many, and they followed him. And here in Mark chapter 2 and verse number 16, we see a contingent here that throws up a complaint. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, because they don't have the guts to say it to him, they fuss at his followers. They said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? Snarl. Over in Luke 5, verse 30, the scripture says here, but their scribes, so these are some locals it seems, murmured against his disciples. And you know what it is to murmur, don't you? Talking low under your breath, getting it said. Maybe just so barely they can hear it, but not hear it, murmuring, grumbling and mumbling about things. The Pharisees, the scribes, murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? So not only the Lord Jesus, but those that followed him, don't you all know that you are messing up here? This is not the way that it's done. These people are low. These people are to be avoided. These people are to be steered away from. Indeed, of these that are called sinners, maybe, surely there were among them those that had a reputation, whatever the case was. Maybe those that would be thieves or harlots or extortioners or such as that. Now let me say, let's make it clear that the Lord Jesus here, eating and drinking with publicans and sinners, Jesus is never a supporter or partaker of sinner sins. That needs to be made clear. Jesus never coddles sinners in their sins. Never does. The scripture, a few passages I want to bring out to show this. In John chapter 8, verse 11, the woman taken in adultery without the man who was in adultery, but they didn't grab him. These fellows are looking to snag the Lord Jesus. They don't give a care about this woman. And maybe indeed she was a harlot and they were able to hire her for such. But whoever the man was, their kin, their friend, their neighbor, their father, whoever it was, they didn't bring him. And so the Lord set them straight by not saying a whole lot. I think that the Lord challenged them. If any of you guys that are without sin in this matter, you go ahead and start throwing the rocks. And the Lord wrote on the ground. We don't know exactly what he wrote on the ground, but I wouldn't be surprised. It's supposition on my part, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Lord didn't write the law concerning this situation where the man was absent. They didn't bring him. Well, they all go out because they're convicted in their conscience by what the Lord has said, from the oldest to the youngest. And the woman is left standing there. And the Lord asked her, so where's your accusers? John 8:11. She said, no man, Lord. There's not any. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. In this event, I have no condemnation for you. There's nothing to be done. And indeed, because it was undertaken in the wrong way. But what's he say? Go and sin no more. He said, don't be doing it again. Don't be found there again. In John chapter 15, our Lord Jesus declares about what he has accomplished in his ministry in verses 22 and 23. He says, if I had not come and spoken unto them, namely the religious leadership of the day, they had not had sin. There was nobody here to point out. And the criticism of the Lord against the leadership was stern and stiff and necessary. But he said, if I hadn't come and brought that out and spoken to them the truth about it, they had not had their sin revealed, I think is what he is indicated there. But now they have no cloak for their sin. They can't cover it up. Brother Doug's bringing that out about the Sermon on the Mount, and he's taking the religious leadership of the day and standing them on their ear. He's telling the mind and the heart of God and the command that God has given unto mankind and unto Israel and setting it straight. And they as a leadership have been at fault, at great fault. And the thing is what's revealed in our Lord's ministry indeed is that the leadership as a whole does not give a lick or a care about the people that they are to pastor. That's their calling. That's what Moses was a pastor. He's a prophet. He was the leader of the people, but he was one to care and for and teach the people by the word of God. The Lord says here in verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. They indeed hated him because why? He did nothing by his righteousness, his presence, and his speech, his preaching, reveal their sin and iniquity against God. The Lord never coddles or never is a partaker of sinners' sins. In John 16, the Lord Jesus tells in the next chapter there in the Gospel of John about one that he is going to send and the work that he's going to do in the Lord's stead, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit work of the Comforter in the church. In John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, church. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's going to be here in my stead. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He will reprove the world of sin, verse number 9, because they believe not on me. He's righteous. He's holy. He's the one that has come to fulfill the law for his people and that his righteousness might be imputed. And as Brother Doug brought out this morning, that his children, the children of the Lord, we might be justified. It is a test of righteousness indeed. And so the Lord, he came to deal with sin, the sin of his people, and is a reprover and a rebuker of sin indeed. So in this about the Lord eating and drinking with publicans and sinners, he's not supporting them or condoning them in their sin and their unjustness in any way. But he has come a bright and righteous light unto them. We see that here. Jesus has a reply. Understand that what the Pharisees and the scribes have said, they've said it unto his disciples. But Jesus is always listening. Be assured of that. Our Lord Jesus, even yet today, is always listening. Lord, help us. He's always listening. He's listening even into the knowledge of that which crosses across our hearts. In Luke chapter 5 and verse number 31, Jesus' reply is this. He says, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You hear that? The Lord Jesus is declaring that a physician is needed. The Lord Jesus is declaring that these people here are sick. The Lord Jesus is declaring indeed that many of them know that they're sinners and know that they need help. That they that are there desire the Lord or are brought to desire the Lord and not reject the Lord. Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I wonder about the words that the Lord spoke amongst these. How was the attitude of the Lord? Do you think that the Lord went to Matthew's house all sour and in a standoffish disposition? I think our Lord went there with joy. I think the Lord went there representing good things, willing to talk to these people about their lives and the help that they needed. He is the great physician, and they needed help. They that are whole need not a physician. You fellas think you're whole. You don't need me. But these folks, they know they need something. And I am who they need. There in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, when Jesus heard it as they're asking or saying this, murmuring this against his disciples, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. He is the physician these people and that all sinners need. He's the physician that you and I need. Likening sickness unto sinners, being a sinner. Well, we are sick with sin. I tell you what, our sin has compromised us greatly. Just in the very existence and life, and certainly in the great chasm that is created between sinners and God Almighty, our Creator, our sin has made us bad off. In their sickness, listen to this. In their sickness, they're in the midst of the sickness, as he says, our Lord is most willing to draw near to be their friend. Isn't that something? Jesus is not, oh, sinners and publicans, turn the other way, disciples, let us go henceforth. No, but he's willing to engage them. Matthew says, I'm going to throw a great feast for you, Lord, over here at my house. He says, let's go. I'm going to invite all my co-workers and my neighbors, and anybody that'll come. Sounds great. Our Lord Jesus is not over there in the corner wallflowering by any means, but he's there engaging folks and talking to them about their need and their lives. He's most willing to draw near to be their friend. And all this got started by Matthew saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you from here on out. It all got started by Jesus saying, Matthew, follow me. Indeed, our Lord is proactive. Understand this, you that are here and not saved. Understand, our Lord has been proactive. He sent his word. He sent his son. The Lord Jesus came. He's fulfilled his death, burial, and resurrection. He's got his churches, his people to proclaim his glorious gospel and his word. He has come and engaged you because he knows sinners need healing. He, in their sickness, is most willing to draw near and be their friend and freely give them the healing they so desperately need. You think this physician charges for his healing work? By no means. Do you think that he's got a limit and has got to parse it out? There's no limit to his ability or healing, is there? And indeed, his cure is marvelous. In Mark chapter 2, In verse number 17, we see the marvel of the cure that he has for sin-sick sinners. He says here, and when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, the self-righteous, the sinners to repentance. The marvelous cure. The marvelous cure is repentance of sins before God. I'm guilty, Lord. I'm guilty and I've sinned against you and against you alone. I've got nothing to say. I am guilty. I deserve everything I've got coming as punishment. I'm guilty. In Luke chapter 5, verse 32, he says there, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The same words. So he is calling. Is he not? He's calling. You're sick with sin? You sinner? He says, come on. I've got healing. Come on. See, this is not about, it's not about these people or sinners, you and I, being caught and being remorseful that now that we've been caught, the authority is going to deal with us. But as it says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 10, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Godly sorrow. As it said, to see what Jesus thinks about our sins and take his position against ourselves. I'm wrong. I should have not. It's wicked to have been sinning against God. I should not have been doing so. I deserve what I have coming. Like the man that was there on the cross with our Lord. We deserve to be here. We've got the justice for what we've done, for our deeds. But this man, he's done nothing amiss. The Lord says he came not to call the self-righteous. Are you not a sinner? Are you in good shape before God? Don't need any help? You don't need Jesus. Now, we all know that you really do. But until a person understands and comes to see that they are a sinner before God, guilty of transgression against Him, there's no help. But you know what? When the Lord shows people that they're sinners, there's healing. There's healing and help with our Lord. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Listen, but there is that remorse that can be. Folks can find out that they've sinned against God and have this feeling that they've been caught and then try to go and do their own thing. There's a world of religion out there like that. A world of universalism that's out there like that. Catholicism that's out there like that. But the sorrow of the world worketh death, trying to get God paid back for our sin and our transgression. It will not work. That's what the Pharisees and the scribes thought they were doing. They cleaned themselves up pretty good. They thought that their parents kept them straight enough while they were young and out of their minds. And then when they came to adults, they were meeting the standard of God and received of God. Are you a sinner? I tell you what, our Lord says, repent before Him. And believe and trust in Him. He is the physician sent. In conclusion, I just want to refer to a couple of verses here in Proverbs. Proverbs 17:17. Listen to this. A friend of sinners. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Our Lord was willing to be engaged with them. And as he was accused of being a friend of sinners here by eating with them and engaging them and such. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Tell you what, we all need a friend that can do something regarding our sin and our souls. and our Lord Jesus is that friend. Understand, our Lord Jesus is he is God, but he doesn't stand as God far off and away in heaven. But understand, our Lord Jesus has so loved that he came down here and became a man just like you and me. That being so high and so holy and so great, he's come down here to be like us without sin, and came down here and engaged us and does engage us through his word. He's still that physician, not looking for the self-righteous, but looking for sinners, calling them, calling you to repentance. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, the scripture says here, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Praise God. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I tell you what, being saved by the Lord, there is nothing that compares or is even has a shadow of being likened to that. A friend indeed. In John chapter 15, we'll close. Our Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples here and speaking to us. And if you're here and you're not saved, listen to this friend and what he has done for those that are sin sick, know it, repentant, and resting and trusting in him. In John 15, I don't know what I told you. John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. To be great friends, huh? Actually, family. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. That's the kind of friend that every person needs. Ye are my friends. Verse 14, if you do whatsoever I command you, obedience unto him. Just like Brother Matthew, follow me. He said he did. He followed him. He obeyed him. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And ordained you. Do you hear? The Lord went to Matthew and said, Matthew, follow me. Do you hear that you're here today hearing the word of the Lord? You know, there's hundreds of thousands of people that have never heard the word of the Lord. Never heard these words. Never heard these passages. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain a future, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another, as our great friend has loved us. Jesus, what a friend for sinners.